From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context, your source for all things Korea. For the last few weeks, we here on Korean Context have been understandably focused on North Korea. But with the big Trump-Kim summit now behind us, I'm happy to say that this week's episode will tackle a different and often underappreciated topic. This week's guest is Olga Krasniak, who recently wrote a paper for KEI called Science Diplomacy, An Underestimated Toolkit of South Korea's Foreign Policy. I was happy to sit down with Olga and talk about what exactly science diplomacy is, why it's such an underused tool in foreign policy, and what South Korea can do to boost its science diplomacy presence. Thanks again for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Olga, thank you so much for coming all the way from Seoul here to D.C. We were really happy to have you here to talk about a topic that, unfortunately, is not something we think about often. We think about science and we think about diplomacy, but sometimes we don't think about them together. So I'm really glad that you wrote this paper and that we are able to talk to you today.
Thank you very much for having me here.
So, as I said, it's not something that we necessarily think about a lot. So what exactly is science diplomacy and where does Korea stand in their science diplomacy?
Okay, science diplomacy is, Pierre Bruno Ruffini said, it's old wine in new bottles. And so what is it? It's something that comes after, in the intersection of science and diplomacy. For just only scientific cooperation, it's unnecessary sometimes for scientists to have diplomats. They just have the collaboration, cooperation in many different ways, and they don't need diplomats at all. But in some cases, for some global issues, science cannot be proceeded without diplomats. Intersection of science and diplomacy gives various options, but there three of them. The first one is science in diplomacy. Science in diplomacy means when scientific advice should be given to foreign policy for diplomats, how foreign policy objectives can be secured, can be promoted. And it's especially important now in the case of global changes which are happening. And of course, scientific advice or scientific information should be acknowledged in this case. The second dimension of science diplomacy is diplomacy for science. When one country probably cannot afford just to undertake research for many reasons, maybe not enough scientists, or maybe it's too expensive. And an example would be International Space Station. It's a huge scientific project. And of course, one country cannot definitely take it and cannot definitely afford it, but it's a collaborative project. When countries just give their money, they fund International Space Station, and yes, finally, some results will follow. And the third dimension, or the third option for science diplomacy, is science for diplomacy, when interstate relations between countries are strained or limited or non-existent, and science is used as a tool to build some bridges to connect countries, because universality of science, it is something what is understood, something what is universally accepted. And using some maybe neutral scientific topics, it would be an option for countries just to work together. As an example, during the Cold War, the Soviet Union and the U.S., of course, they had a lot of tensions, but at the same time, scientific cooperation always happened. And the most notable example of this is the Apollo-Soyuz project of 1975, when two spaceships docked in the space. But before it was done, before this project was possible, it's a huge work was preceded, diplomatic work and scientific work and joint work of astronauts and cosmonauts. So, well, it's science diplomacy, what it is.
What is the South Korean government doing, if anything, in the field of science diplomacy right now?
I'm not aware of anything what we can call science diplomacy, but it's a part of public diplomacy. And when public diplomacy in its term, it's a part of traditional diplomacy. But Korea actually has real practices of sense diplomacy, even they're not called in this way. And Korea's participation in international projects, in the number of international projects, it's very impressive. Maybe not all the projects they have like a real outcome, but in some cases it's a good practices. So that is why implementing foreign sense diplomacy into Korea's foreign policy, it seems to be a very logical way. It's something that can be done without any problems because Korea has very solid background, fundamental basis, what requirements for science diplomacy. And plus, Korea has experiences which can be related to science diplomacy. So that is why it can be done easily, very quickly.
Are there any specific examples you can give of these projects that maybe weren't called science diplomacy, but that could, you know, be used for science diplomacy that Korea has done, or any specific areas where you think Korea would be able to use science diplomacy going forward?
Korea has very great experiences, undertaken some parts in projects that can be related to science diplomacy. For example, it's Arctic Council. Even South Korea is not a part of the Arctic Council for obvious reasons, for geographical reasons, of course. But Korea claims its right to use this, the Arctic Ocean because of the climate change and the navigation in the ocean will be open and plus access, future access to gas and oil will be open as well. And, well, yes, Korea is aware of those things. Or another example, something related to the opposite pole, to Antarctic. Yes, Antarctic, Korea is a part of the this Antarctic Treaty. Korea signed this treaty as well. And it's something related to usage of using Antarctic for scientific purposes. And, yes, Korea is there as well. And another example is CERN, where Korea has a status of an observer. Well, Korea is aware of those things, of course, it's theoretical physics. And yes, Korea, if not partakes, but doing pretty well, just knowing, so what is it? And how the scientific cooperation, which includes many different countries, non-state actors and state actors, how it can be proceeded. So yes, Korea is well aware of this.
So one thing I'm curious about is the role of private actors within science diplomacy, because you know, Samsung, for example, is in the biotech industry, and they obviously work with lots of international partners, or they're a global company. And that's not science diplomacy. I know that's different, but is there any role for these private actors or companies, or how do they play a role in possible cooperation on science?
Yeah, here's probably, if not misunderstanding, but maybe specifics related to South Korea, because in the Western world, science is happening in academia, in institutions, in universities, but in Korea, technologies are happening in conglomerates, technologies are happening in chaebols. And in this case, the role of non-state actors, but these huge conglomerates, of course, is really important. But we should understand the aim or the targets for private companies. And it's something related to international relations. Private companies, of course, they're focused on having some benefits. Of course, they needed to commercialize anything what they can come up or maybe to do some advanced technologies or maybe to develop some technologies. And science diplomacy in this case, well, of course, can consider these conglomerates like non-state actors, but the reasons or the aims or targets conglomerates they have or countries they have, it's a little bit different. Probably Samsung doesn't care what happened in, let's say, in case of geopolitics and who builds the stage where these key players can somehow just play their roles. Samsung focuses on different things. And in this case, well, it's different reasons. So
speaking of that, the goals or looking at the focus of the diplomacy, one thing we talked about a little bit earlier at the event was that, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were saying that some of the cultural diplomacy or the things that the South Korean government has so far really focused their energy on in terms of the public diplomacy, cultural, food, you know, K-pop, is great, but it doesn't have the same goals or the same possible influence as science diplomacy. So can you expand on that? What do you mean by having different goals?
all these branches of public diplomacy, as you absolutely correct mentioned, cultural diplomacy, sports diplomacy, science diplomacy, of course they use a little bit different, they have different non-state actors, and of course they do maybe a little bit different things. And while we're talking about science diplomacy, the main idea is to make Korea influential on the international stage. But cultural diplomacy and sports diplomacy, they aim maybe a little bit different things. And those things related to make Korea's image attractive as an attractive country. And I think they're doing pretty well. And yes, Korea is a very attractive country, of course. And in the eyes of foreigners who like K-pop, who like Taekwondo or anything, who absolutely were happy to visit Pyeongchang Olympic Games, this diplomacy, these branches of diplomacies, they achieved their goals, definitely, but it's about to make country attractive. It's something related to nation branding as well. Well, it's good. It's not that bad. But science diplomacy aims different, and it's about to make a country influential.
Getting beyond Korea a little bit, what are some examples that you see as other countries have successfully done that, have successfully used science diplomacy to make themselves more influential on the international stage?
Science diplomacy, as I said, it's something what existed before, but now it's undertaken and researched on them using maybe new terminology, modern terminology, but historical examples, well, it's a lot. And one of the dimensions of science diplomacy is science for diplomacy, when scientific cooperation is used, and in this case, just to help some countries, not just only to spread their influence, but to build bridges and to improve relations. And that would be vaccine diplomacy between the U.S. And Soviet Union. And of course, both of the countries, they had their own interest to spread their own influence over the third world countries. But at the same time, some scientific achievements visible, and many diseases eradicated, and some diseases even disappeared because of vaccine diplomacy. Something related to modern science diplomacy, the example of the UK, United Kingdom does pretty well promoting British scientists in British science, and strengthening relations with different countries. But again, with something can work with one country, necessarily will work with another country. And what a significant component of British science diplomacy is working with emergent scientific countries, as it would be Russia, but it's like a re-emergent scientific country because Russia lost its influence and just slowed down its scientific development. But British science diplomacy in Russia has very good results, and it's happening right now. It's ongoing projects, despite of all these problems, like recent problems. The same things as the United Kingdom does with Brasilia, and maybe with some different emerging powers. So, of course, it cannot be done with developing countries, but with developed countries to a certain level, at least, science diplomacy can be proceeded very well. So Great Britain, great example for science diplomacy.
So one thing that you said at the beginning of your talk was one, you know, way in which science diplomacy could be effective, or one thing that would be nice would be if people started talking a little bit more about South Korea and not just North Korea. But with that said, I have to ask you a question about North Korea. As we know, there's some diplomatic openings right now. They sent, of course, the cultural side, cultural diplomacy. We had a concert in Pyongyang this weekend. Do you see any openings for new scientific endeavors? I know there have been some in the past between the two Koreas. Could that be a part of this new engagement with North Korea?
Well, it could be, but I think maybe, well, it would be my speculation. So with limited access to North Korea, but North Korea, I think, would be very suspicious to any scientific cooperation, because definitely North Korea has something to protect. That would be this military technologies, this nukes, what North Korea has. And I think if an opportunity appears, it would be something neutral. Otherwise, it would be too suspicious, and we might not see, or we may see North Korea will probably abandon, or maybe would not be willing to talk about this. And with the things related to cultural diplomacy, again, because North Korea Kim Jong-un, he agreed to host K-pop bands. He agreed just to send this group of support to in Pyeongchang Olympic Games. But we see, well, he's still newsmaker, and we see, well, he takes the lead. And South Korea is ready to cooperate. South Korea is ready to do many things, but it doesn't guarantee the acceptance. And still, it's not. It's overshadowed Seoul, but Pyeongchang still takes the lead.
So this is the moment when I'm going to make a plug for our podcast. We actually about 3 or 4 years ago, we did an episode with a seismologist who had worked on a project in North Korea with North Korean scientists in a limited capacity, but she was able to go to Mount Baekdu and study the volcano there. So for those of you who are interested in that, please do go in our archive. You can look up the episode. But it's been a really great conversation talking about science diplomacy, something that I, again, didn't know in terms of the, you know, term science diplomacy, but we've heard about some of these scientific exchanges and projects, so it's really cool to see someone studying it more. Before we go, is there anything else that you think it's important for people to know, or any, you know, closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would suggest somebody who's interested in Korean Peninsula to look at South Korea more carefully. South Korea deserves its better place on the international stage, and it deserves better analysis. It deserves good academics who just looking at South Korea, maybe from a different perspective, different point of view, and maybe some innovative things related to science diplomacy that should be acknowledged, and probably it can change the situation and in strategical and historical perspective. So just don't overshadow South Korea. It's worst place and it's worst country to it's worth to look at this carefully.
I want to thank you very much for your time, for your paper. The paper will be online, so please do check that out as well. And we look forward to hearing more about science diplomacy in the future.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, everybody, again, for joining us. Please do remember to subscribe to Korean Context if you liked our content. And we'll see you here again with another episode next week.